Welcome to church today. I'm glad that you're here. You're having a good day? Happy Mother's Day to you. My name is Matt. For those of you that might not know who I am, I'm the associate pastor here. And today, Danny and I, every once in a while, we just want to do something a little different and do a little tag team service. And so today, we're going to go over some aspects of motherhood. And so, mothers from a true mama's boy, right? Someone Amen. That has an incredible relationship with his mother. And as a husband, getting to witness the amazing feats of a loving mother that is my wife, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Today, my main goal, our main goal, is I want to let you know today that mothers, you are like, I see you. I want you to know that you're seen and you're appreciated more than we could ever express, and I'm sure probably forget to tell you just how incredible you are. And so we're going to discuss a couple attributes. I sat in my office when Danny told me that we were going to do this week, and I was trying to just think, okay, motherhood. What is it? What is motherhood? What would encompass motherhood? And my first one was love. Love is kind of an easy one. That's the first thing that popped into my mind. And just a small thought on a mother's love. In my humble opinion, the closest thing that we have to unconditional love on earth, right? Not the love that we get from God the Father. I'm not talking about that love. I'm talking about human to human. The closest that we have on earth to unconditional love is a mother's love for her child. It's incredible. But when I really started thinking about what it means to be a mother, the word pressure came to my mind. Pressure. Being a mom, if you're doing it the right way, which unfortunately a lot of mothers and fathers maybe don't do it the right way. But if you're doing it the right way, being a mother involves a lot of high-pressure situations. Amen. And in those high-pressure situations, guess what? You don't get sick days. You don't get vacation days. You don't get personal days when you're a mom. You don't get to clock out when you're a mom. It doesn't matter what time it is, no matter how old they are.
Amen.
You're still mom. 37 years old, I'm still calling my mom when I have problems. I'm calling my mom. Mom, I need you. I love you. You're not going to tell anybody. You're my mom. And you love me even though I don't tell you enough. You're invested 24/7. 365, always on motherhood. And the pressure is in this. When I started thinking, you're literally trying to form and guide a human into being something that society can find useful.
Amen.
It's your job as a mother. You're trying to do all of these different things. You're trying to make your husband useful for society. And then now you have to try to make your kids useful to society. Right? That's a lot of pressure. That's another human being. I have four little human beings. And see, at the same time you're trying to do all of these other things, you're still trying to stamp out all the bad things that they either learned from you or received genetically through you. So you're forming and you're making and you're trying to, you see all the things that you didn't like, and you see your stubbornness and you see your defiance, right, coming out in your children. It's a lot of pressure being a mom. Because guess what? If they're screwed up, sorry, mom, you're getting blamed for that. What kind of mother raised him? That's what you're going to hear. What You're not going to hear dad. I mean, dad gets off the hook a lot with that. What kind? You kiss your mother with that mouth. It's all about that. But more times than not, mothers, through all and any stressful situation, your presence, your availability, you just being there, even when you may not know what to do next, you have a way of just making things better. You just have to be there sometimes. You don't have to know the solution to every problem that I bring to you, but man, just, mom, you're there. And I know that you love me unconditionally, and no matter what I do, you're going to love me. And that's really cool. I want to take you to a girl that was thrust very abruptly and surprisingly into motherhood, into a high-stress, high-pressure situation. I'm going to take you to Matthew 1, and I'm going to read a little bit. This is Matthew 1, 26 through 38. So we don't know really a whole lot about Mary until we see her on the scene here, right? We don't really know her background. We don't know a whole lot about what she did. But in verse 26, the Bible says this in chapter 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, who was her cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel, who was the messenger angel, that's who Gabriel was. He sent Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin, very important, named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Another very important thing is that the descendants of King David. So here's this girl, Mary, right? She would have been an older teenager, right? And she's met the man of her dreams, right? She met this guy named Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter, good. The Bible says that Joseph, you know, he had a good character, good reputation, had herself to, hey, this is my guy. We're engaged, right? My life is falling into line. I've got it all set up. No pressure, man. I'm good, right? I found the man of my dreams. So here she is, she's engaged. Gabriel shows up. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Annie asked me last night, what does favored woman mean there? You'd probably have to do a specific word study really on what that word favored means. But when we look back through scripture and we look at, you know, how Abraham had found favor with God because of his faithfulness, right? So we can just kind of put the context clues together to know that Mary, whatever it was about Mary, there's something about Mary. But she was a special person, right? She was special. There was something about her. She was favored in the sight of God, okay? So here Gabriel is. I've got my whole life planned out. I'm good. Everyone leave me alone. We're living life. We're doing good. Here he comes, Gabriel. Verse 29, confused and disturbed. Here's Mary. She's confused. She's disturbed. Here's an angel of the Lord, right? Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Again, going something about her faithfulness, who she was, the character that she had to know, the journey that she was about to go on, right? God had prepared her heart. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her own age. People used to say she was barren. She has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Here is Mary, this older teenage little girl, engaged. She's got her whole life in front of her. She's excited. And here comes Gabriel to say, listen, ma'am, you're favored, right? I'm going to give you some big news here. You're sitting down. You know, you're Jewish, like the whole, like, thousands of years of prophecy talking about the coming Messiah, the Savior, right? Messiah means Savior of the entire world, the Son of God. You're going to be his mom. Can you get much more high pressure than that? You're informed that you're giving birth to the prophesied Messiah. He's going to cry for you when he hurts himself. When he falls down and he hurts his leg and he bangs into something. Eli was at Texas Roadhouse the other day sitting beside me. And all of a sudden he just starts swinging his head. Swinging his head. And then he just smokes the side of the banister. Or like the booth. Like right on the corner. And he goes like this. And then all the blood is just everywhere. Blood is everywhere. And I'm just like, you good? And Annie's like over there, high pressure situation. She's like, I feel like I need to switch seats. And we're giving him ice and telling him to, I don't know. How was I talking about that? Oh, when he hurts himself. Right? When Eli got hurt, he wanted his mom. Dad was not doing it. I'm rubbing some dirt on it. I'm laughing. I thought it was funny. Why you know, big dummy, why are you spinning your head around like that? Like, what are you doing? But he wanted his mom, right? When Jesus got hurt, he cried for his mom. Mary, you're going to teach the Messiah how to read. You're going to teach him how to walk. You're going to teach him his manners. You're going to make him eat things that he doesn't want to eat. You're going to tuck him in at night. Imagine prayer time with that. All right, we're going to pray. Talking to yourself, talking to, who are you talking to? Wild, right? You think about the subtle nuances of what it means to be a mother, and now you have the Messiah. The whole world. You're going to tuck him in. Listen, if he had TV back then and they gave him like an interview, guess who he's giving credit to? Hi, Mom. You ever hear that on TV, all these athletes? The dad has been in the yard countless hours throwing that football. You get on TV, national television. Hi, Mom. Dude, hello. Who taught you how to throw a ball? Dad, give me some credit, man. Hi, Dad. That's all I need, Abe. When you sign that first contract, hi, Dad. That's it. That's all I want, okay? And maybe a little bit of money. Listen, by no means will we ever from this pulpit deify Mary. We will never worship her, make her into, you know, some kind of goddess. But I need you to understand that Mary was a very special person. She was a very special mom. And the Gospels do an amazing job at following their journey together, right? Mary is always Jesus' biggest fan. She's kind of in the background. And could you imagine, right? Their journey together looks to end at the cross. She's watching her son go out in the gnarliest way that humanity has invented to kill someone with Roman crucifixion, the beating. The Bible says that Jesus was not recognizable as a human being. He was not recognizable as a man. And there you are, Mom, as your son has cried out to you when he scraped his knee, as you've potty trained him, right? Corrected his grammar. Pulled him by the ear when he needed it. And here you see your son on the cross. Right? You see him taken down. You see him buried. You see the apostles flee. Everyone that loved him flees and leaves Jesus because they think the game's over. But don't you think that just a little bit, Mary flashes back into her conversation with Gabriel and she says, you know what? It's not over. My boy is not really dead because Gabriel told me I was having the Son of the living God and that Jesus, my Yeshua, is going to be the Savior of the world. He can't be dead. And then she sees his resurrected body. She knew. She never lost hope in her boy. Mothers, you never lose hope. No matter how much of a degenerate of a child you might have, there's always just that little in there saying, he's not done. She's not. I know there's more in there. She's got to just drag it out of him. Mary knew Jesus wasn't done because Gabriel, angel of God, told her so. She believed in her heart that Jesus was who he says he is. And then he came back. The roller coaster of emotions, high pressure situations. Mom, we see you. And we love you. And we don't tell you enough. And guess what? We all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Like, literally, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
So, well, happy Mother's Day. Thanks, Matt, for keeping within the 4 to 6 minute time frame. I got about an hour and a half, and I'll be done, so just sit tight. No. I do want to say happy Mother's Day to my mother in Texas, and I know she'll be watching. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. And to all the mothers that are watching that can't be here live, we just want to say happy Mother's Day from all of us here at Mission Point. We wish you Godspeed, God bless, and hopefully you'll be able to rejoin us soon. Now, an acronym for mothers, I saw one, is MOM is one and only teacher, healer, everlasting love, and a good role model for Christ. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, God says that we're to honor our mother and father, and that's what we're here to do. Actually, we're going to honor God by honoring our mothers. Amen? Matt spoke about the pressures that mom is under. They're under so much pressure because they do so much for their children. And being under so much pressure, they have to sacrifice a lot. Mom sacrificed so much for their children. Amen? One man said it this way: mom is one who sacrifices not only her body, her sleep, her social life, her spending money, eating hot meals, her patience, her energy, and her sanity, all for love. Moms today sacrifice so much for their children, even single mothers. You know, we forget the idea that a single mom sometimes has to play both roles of mom and dad. Amen? Proverbs 31:27 says that she watches over the ways of her household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Many mothers have devoted their entire lives to the home and to raising their children, and some have sacrificed their careers, their lifelong dreams and passions, and we just want to say thank you, Mom, for your sacrifice. You've heard the old axiom that man works from sun up to sundown, but a woman's work is never done. And so moms are the hardest working people in the world. And many mothers have to work full-time jobs outside of the home. And not only that, but then come home and cook and clean and do the laundry and all of those things. Mothers sacrifice so much for their family. One man gave the illustration. A teacher asked a boy a question, and he said he was trying to teach him fractions. And he said, you have six in your family, and if your mom bakes a pie, what portion do you get? And of course, the child said, well, I get 1/5. And he said, well, I don't think you don't know your fractions. I'm trying to teach you this. He goes, you have six people in your family. Your mom bakes a pie. What portion do you get? And he said, well, you don't know my mother, because she wouldn't want one so that we could have her portion. So I'd get 1/5. Amen? Never neglect the capabilities of a super mom. Moms would sacrifice their entire bodies for their children. Amen? Amen? In 1994, in December in Chicago, a mother was fueling up her car and had her 6-year-old daughter in the back. And she went in to pay, and whatever reason, she left the keys in the car. And as she was coming out of the gas station to get back in the car, some man, some thief, jumped in and stole her car with her 6-year-old daughter in the back. And so she ran, jumped through the window, had a hold of the steering wheel and a hold of the driver's side door, and she's hanging on for dear life, going down the road at nearly 35 miles an hour. And luckily, praise God, she had one of those anti-theft steering wheel locking devices under the seat. And she was able to reach down and grab a hold of it and beat the tar out of the guy. And he come to a stop. And so when it was all said and done, it was after the whole incident that the six-year-old girl woke up from the back seat. Didn't know anything was going on. Mom, all she had was some torn up jeans, and her knees were a little bloody from the ride on the outside. But the man had a concussion, was bleeding profusely from his face with many lacerations, and the end result was he had a broken leg. And the whole thing is, don't mess with Mom. She's tough. When she has to be, she'll protect you with her life. And many moms have done that. Matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, we find Moses' mother. Pharaoh was killing all the Hebrew children, and it came to the time where she could no longer hide him, the Bible says. And she took an ark of bulrushes for him and daubed it with asphalt and pitch and put him in it, and then laid him in the river. Many mothers sacrificed so much for their children, and she gave her child away. I don't think we understand the sacrifice. We talk about sacrifice. But here you have a tyrant who is killing your children. And the best thing mom can do is to put her in the river and say, God, take care of my son. Because I cannot. And that story is one of amazement, because I love that story. Because Moses' older sister Miriam, she's walking down the river, watching her brother go down the river. And as he comes to a stop, it's right in front of Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter grabs this little Hebrew child and goes, oh, it's a Hebrew child. And Miriam comes down and goes, hey, if that's a Hebrew child, maybe you should have a Hebrew woman take care of that child until he's weaned. She goes, great idea. And you know what happened? Miriam took that little child right back to her mom. And Moses' mother got to take care of her own child for a long time. Let me tell you, that is the result of a God-fearing mother. Amen? God takes care of your children, even when you can't. The sacrifice that a mother does for her children can be demanding at very times, especially when it comes to children. Gosh, Annie, God love you. Four children, they're a handful. A mother was putting her son to bed and one evening before his birthday, and she said, okay, now I've been telling you for a year you're 4 years old. So every time you tell somebody, you're four. That's how old you are. Tomorrow's your birthday. So listen, when you go to bed, you're going to be four. But tomorrow, you're going to be five. So you're going to need to start telling people you're five. So he was trying to equate that four and five, and what's the big deal about a day? And so he finally got it. And he goes, oh, I get it. So when I go to bed tonight, I'm four now, but tomorrow I'm going to be a handful. I mean, kids are a handful, amen? Oh, gosh, and those trammels, they take after their dad. Good job, Dad. That's my contribution to you. Which, by the way, listen, raising kids and doing the best you can. You know what? Sometimes kids make their own choices. Mom, don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Dennis the Menace said in one of his comics in a timeout chair, he said, if you're raising me right, how's come I keep getting in so much trouble? And I think that's what moms do. Moms, they're too hard on themselves for how their kids turn out sometimes. Look, don't be so hard. If your child goes astray, if they don't exactly honor you in this life, if they have chosen to make bad decisions, it doesn't mean that you're a bad mom. Listen, many godly people in the Bible, their children have gone astray, from Moses to Samuel to Eli to David to, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But it doesn't mean that they didn't do a good job raising their children. Amen? Moms, don't be too hard on yourself. The sacrifice of mothers, I don't think that we understand this in our culture today, but I think it's important to know. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your entire child in order to do what's best for them. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see the idea that Solomon, who God says, I will give you whatever you want. And God says, I just want wisdom. I just want to rule with wisdom. And so his first test of wisdom came when two prostitute women came to him. Each of them had a child. And the second child died from mom two, and the first child from mom one was still living. And both of them came and said, this child is mine. And it came down to it that Solomon said, okay, I'll take a sword and I'll cut the child in half. And I'll give half to each of you. And mom number one said, no, no, don't do that. Just let her have the child. Would the real mom stand up? And that was her. And Solomon said, that's the mother right there. Give the child to her and go and take her away. Listen, to give up your child for the sake of doing what's best for that child, we don't see that in our culture today. The day may come. And understand, the day may come. I think back of the Holocaust, all those Jewish mothers, the things that they had to do for their child, just so their child could live. Just so their child could live. To smuggle their children out, not knowing what was going to happen to them, not knowing where they were going to be. The sacrifice to give your entire child up so that they can live. Thank God for moms that sacrifice everything. That's what moms do. They sacrifice everything for their children. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Mary was no different, as Matt said. She was somebody who, man, got to house God. Could you imagine? I don't know if you think about that. Oh, I see you're pregnant. Yeah, I got God in me. I mean, I got the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm like, yeah, I got God in me too. But not like that. That was a little different. She's raising God. She's carrying the Son of God. And to watch her give up her son, man, raising a child so that he can be crucified. The agony, the sacrifice, the pressure that she was under. You know, being a mom sometimes is very costly. Being a mom sometimes is a sleepless job. And being a mom sometimes is a thankless job. But we just want to say, thank you, Mom, for your sacrifice. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, Solomon writes, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Praise God for moms. I want to invite the praise team to come. And as they do, I just want to say, you know, Mary's sacrifice of giving her son for the cross really is God's sacrifice. This is what God did. God gave his only begotten son. That whoever put their trust, whoever believed, whoever had faith in what he did on the cross would have eternal life. You know, wouldn't it be great on Mother's Day maybe to have salvation come to you? What way to honor your mother who has led you through a life, sacrifice, under pressure? What a day to come to salvation. Let today be the day. Friend, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you don't know if something was to happen to you, where you would spend eternity, man, I invite you to come forth. We're going to have some folks here that will show you from God's Word what it takes to have heaven and eternal life. Church, maybe you just want to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a wonderful mom. Maybe she's not here, and you just want to praise God for your mother. As we give this brief invitation, whatever your need is, we pray that you come.